Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 9:08 p.m. That is Pacific. No, it isn't. It is British summertime. And today is October 2nd. Well, when we look at the S&P 500, it got clipped again in here today, and it has come back down now to test the sequence of higher reaction lows that's been in evidence since Boxing Day. It's really within striking distance of the region of the trend mean as well. So any semblance of a short-term overbought condition have now been unwound. It is, though, for the bulls to prove that there is evidence of demand returning in this area. We do need to see an upper dynamic to confirm a return to demand dominance in the region of the trend mean. We have also seen a move in the bond markets, and the 10-year price is pushing back up. So far, this has held its sequence of higher reaction lows. The big move, however, in the bond yield that we had 3 weeks ago is the largest upward dynamic we've seen in an awfully long time. That really does suggest that there is meaningful resistance around the 1.5% level. That's despite the fact that there is an increased risk of additional rate cuts. But what I think is important is not so much what the S&P or the Nasdaq, for example, are doing. They're both above their respective trend means. It's the Russell 2000, which had got right up to test the upper side of its range just 2.5 weeks ago and failed. It's now all the way right back down at the lower side of its range. It had a meaningful pullback in the latter part of last year, and it has not rebounded. It definitely needs to hold the lower side of this range that's been persisting now for most of the year. The transportation index is also very similar in terms of the pattern, and it's right on the region of its trend mean. The airlines today were leading on the downside, and not just weak stocks like American Airlines, but Delta was also down in a pretty dynamic manner. Then, when we think about what's the banking sector looking like, well, it has a generally more similar pattern to the Russell 2000 and the transportation index, but it has held up better. And now the question is whether this region of the trend mean is going to hold or whether we're going to get another retest of the 300 level. And these are, I think, more important charts because if they do break down, then it's probably going to drag the wider market down as well. They're much more heavily influenced by the health of the domestic US economy, and that is where the questions are now starting to be asked. Auto loan default rates have been trending higher. They're not at meaningfully high rates yet, but the terms on the loans are stretching out to 7 years. And 7 years is a long time for a car. Then, of course, the stretching of those terms has been one of the things that have helped to support the margins on a lot of the kinds of cars that companies have been producing, particularly SUVs, which have definitely got higher margins. But what we're all that's these are short-term considerations. The medium-term consideration is that demand for cars has been trending down globally, and there is a massive retooling going on, which is extremely expensive in terms of moving to electric vehicle technology. And that is a particular problem for Germany, where we already know the difficulties that companies like Volkswagen and BMW and Daimler have experienced. But it is in the Mittelstand, the somewhat smaller companies that have been supplying these behemoths for decades are going to be in serious trouble. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why it's quite likely we are going to see fiscal stimulus in Germany, not because they want to, but because they're probably going to have to. The MDAX is right in the region of the trend mean right now. When we think about what's been going on in the bond markets, there is a liquidity issue. The Germans tried to sell a bond with a zero coupon and it or at a negative yield. It didn't work. Japan has been attempting to steepen its yield curve. When we think about the Japanese yield curve, it is a rather interesting chart. When you look at it over the long term, the steepness of the yield curve has been contracting steadily since 1995, and it's still in positive territory. They're trying to extend trying to get the spread to widen, but in doing that, they're buying fewer bonds at the long end of the curve. They're trying to push the yields up. That's trying to support the Japanese banking sector. But it's easy to simply look at these individual characteristics and think about, oh, there's a little liquidity, or it's not something we need to worry about overly. But the number of instances where there have been bond auctions over the last few months that have not been able to sell the allocated quota has been increasing rather rapidly, and it's been doing so on a global basis. It's been happening in Japan, it's happening in Germany, and it's happening in the USA. That raises the potential that there is going to be a buyer's strike, that the bond market will eventually have had enough of the concurrent fiscal and monetary stimulus. We're probably not at the point yet where it becomes a clear risk to the bond market, because people are at present more worried about the slowdown in the global economy than they are about the bubble that's inflating in the bond markets. What is also interesting in here today was the strength in gold. I personally bought some silver in here today. Gold is back above the $1,500 area. It's up $21 in here today. And that is continuing to hold the breakout posted in the last 3 months. This has been an incredibly impressive advance. And silver is much more volatile. It was really susceptible to some pause and consolidation around the $20 area. It's looking increasingly likely that it has had that, and now it is starting to stabilize once more. So I think this is, or at least from my perspective, it was an opportune time to be thinking about taking a position again. Platinum prices were up $6 in here today, not nearly as dynamic as silver or gold, but we are coming back to the region of the trend mean. It is a rather interesting level at this stage. The most important thing it's done has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. There has been a mild upward bias to trading for more than a year, and I do suspect that if platinum can hold the region of the trend mean, then the next pop on the upside will take it back above the $1,000 area. This, I think, are the more important point, that one of the reasons why the precious metals are doing better is because of the risk of continued monetary and fiscal stimulus from the world's central banks. The big question that investors are asking is, are these liquidity support measures going to be enough and timely enough to support global growth? Has the trade war gone on for long enough already to impact growth? The FTSE 100 today was down rather strongly. It was a very clear downward dynamic so far this week. There is increasing trading around the Brexit question. Then, of course, there is a clear I think when just talking to people in the UK, they're sick to death of this story, but we're increasingly close to the end of it, and that is potentially when we're going to have more of a tradable opportunity. UK stocks are already trading at a discount, and that is already pricing in a lot of the risk that's attached to the market. That doesn't mean that the price can't go down in the short term, but it does suggest that the price can go up later. And the yield differential that is available on the FTSE today is among the highest that we've seen in years relative to other developed markets. Then, of course, the oil price had been popping. Excuse me. Sneezing. Popping on the upside following the attack in Saudi Arabia, but it is now responding more to global growth concerns than to any particular risk in terms of supply. This is much more about the demand cycle, and the price is now considerably below where it was when even before the attack. This is still a bearish environment. We're going to need a significant bullish catalyst in the form of a crisis that persists for more than a day. Saudi Arabian supply is back to where it was ahead of the attack. They've brought on mothballed supply, so that is a very impressive feat by Saudi Aramco. It further bolsters Saudi Arabia's reputation as being a reliable partner that they didn't have to declare force majeure. It also suggests that there is plenty of oil around. What was also rather interesting is the industrial metal markets, where copper prices have been under pressure for most of the last 7 or 8 months. They really are going to have to break and sustain a move back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're in a demand-dominated environment. I do apologize that this chart is not doesn't seem to be coming up in a timely manner. I do notice that the internet connection here at the Army and Navy Club is not as swift as one might hope for, but copper is holding the $2.50 area. At least it isn't breaking down, which is reasonably positive. Then nickel prices are likely to benefit from continued demand for the metal from the battery sector. The 8-to-1-to-1 chemistries that are being deployed by Tesla require much more nickel than older batteries or older battery technologies. There is still the potential that the LME will need to create an additional nickel contract. And despite the volatility we've had in September, the price of nickel remains really quite steady. So we're not seeing the same kind of weakness in the industrial resources as we're seeing in the oil market. And I think that's rather important. But nonetheless, the wider London Metals Index does need to push back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're out of the woods and that this is no longer a supply-dominated environment. Well, of course, China is closed this week. So the one thing that is trading is the offshore renminbi, and that was in negative territory earlier on in the day, but the weakness in the dollar over the balance of the trading day has helped to support the currency. It has been reasonably inert over the course of the last few months, which is a positive. The dollar index has a history of not sustaining moves to new highs, and this may be another one of those occasions. It was down in here today. What I think is particularly worthy of mention is we have to at least pay some consideration to the fact that the primary indices are above their respective trend means. There has been a consolidation underway for most of the last 6 months in the region of the all-time peaks. That's a very meaningful, and still, the other point is when we think about. And sorry, I've stubbed my toe. But when we are looking at the wider market, the big question is how much profit erosion have people experienced? If the vast majority of investors are invested in ETFs rather than individual shares, they're not as sensitive to the kinds of big pullbacks that we've seen, for example, in Netflix. even though Netflix was one of the shares that was in positive territory in here today. If they've been invested in large cap growth, which is basically owning the big FANG plus companies, then they have not experienced profit erosion. And then, of course, we have the point that there is a substantial quantity of cash on the sidelines. Now, when the market breaks downwards, then that's when ETF investors will start to experience profit erosion. That will then start to question the integrity of the whole ETF model. But the other side of it is, if this market finds support now and then breaks on the upside, it will start to draw some of the cash from the sidelines back into the market. That would support the bubble hypothesis. That's, I think, the more likely scenario in the short term. We just need a catalyst. There is a lot of risk already priced in. There is a lot of cash on the sidelines. If the trade war moderates, then that is something that is probably going to give people the rationale to start to put some money back to work. So we're at a rather critical juncture in the markets because the regions of the trend mean are starting to be tested. This is the area where we do need to see some support coming back in. Clear evidence of topping in the stock market would be that the major indices break below their respective trend means and then encounter resistance there. That's very similar to what we saw in 2007. We've already had a meaningful loss of momentum. This is the third 18-month consolidation in this decade-long advance on the S&P 500. If we are still in a bull market, then the range will be resolved on the upside. If we're not still in a bull market, then it will drop below the trend mean and then subsequently encounter resistance in the trend mean and break downwards. The jury is still out. The yield curve has inverted, so we do know that that is a lead indicator which has been very reliable historically in terms of predicting recessions. But high yield spreads are still very much contained, and the downward pressure on yields generally is helping to support this market. You don't generally get problems in the stock market that are meaningful in nature until the high yield spread is trending higher above the 500 basis point level, and that is does not look immediately like a risk. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.